get started, everybody. Oh, I did want to make a point that the Bechina is, what day did we say?
Sunday.
So if I could just make a strong push that people should take the Bechina whether you're ready or not. Jed is a super, super nice grader, I assume, because no one's ever failed. and I don't look at the Bechinas. It's just really important that you take them, because if I don't have any grades for you, if I just have, you know, a whole year where you've taken nothing, my hands are kind of tight, you know? Like, so, you know, if you've taken whatever, 3 out of 4, okay, 3 out of 4, is, you know, pretty good. So, you know, but like, yeah, you really, you got to take them. So I think the longer you wait, you know, it's just not. So good, keep on chazering. If you feel like you don't know well enough, keep on chazering. Just take the Bechina first and then keep on chazering, and then you'll realize what you didn't know when you're chazering. So that's my pitch. I probably should have said that before I turned on the recorder. Okay, so today we're going to do Siman Sadi Dalid. We obviously just the Chazara of Siman Sadi Dalid, some questions. So here we go. You are exhausted and you decide to make a coffee. As you're mixing the milk in your mug, you notice, of course, fleishig spoon, using a fleishig spoon. Throw out the coffee, the spoon, the mug, right? Always, that's always the question. Three questions, right? The kli that it's in, the food that's in the kli, and the spoon. So let's see, what do we got here? So where's the halacha that's in question over here? Where's the halacha in question? What? What's that?
The beginning of
Sadi Dalid. So Shulchan Aruch and Ramah in, well, let's go back a second. First of all, in a coffee mug, you always have one major heter that you don't have in a pot, and that is klisheni, right? Shulchan Aruch and Ramah in Kuf Hei hold that the b'diavad klisheni is not polite, not mafler mavliya at all. But lechachila, we try to be machmir that a klisheni can take flavor out, but only until a kadei klipa. So the Taz quotes from a marshal that a klisheni can either take flavor out or put flavor in, just can't do both. So if you put a non-kosher piece of meat into a chalent that's put into a klisheni, then the heat of the klisheni causes the non-kosher meat flavor to enter the chalent and asrit. But if you put a kosher piece of meat that has non-kosher flavor absorbed in it into a klisheni together with the other pieces of meat, so the kosher pieces of meat are going to stay kosher. Why? Because a klisheni can only cause the non-kosher flavor in the meat to leave the meat and enter the sauce, but it can't cause that flavor to re-enter into another piece of kosher meat. So it's not going to be able to facilitate a full transfer. So when it comes to mixing coffee with a fleishig spoon, so l'chora, the din would be like this. The Ol Yaakov writes this out, because this is a very common example, that according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambah, totally mutter. Right? Certainly b'diavet, it is definitely b'diavet, it's klisheni, klisheni is not maflid and mafliya. But Rabbi Kivegra points out that the spoon would need to be kashered, because the chachila, a klisheni can absorb, right? So you'd still need to kasher the spoon, even though the coffee is totally mutter, and the mug is totally mutter. So again, the coffee is mutter, because b'diavet, a klisheni doesn't do anything. And you shouldn't have to throw out the coffee. But the spoon has a way out. You can kasha the spoon, so you rely on the din l'chachila, and you say that it absorbed the kadei klipa. According to the Taz and the Marshal, the spoon and the coffee will be usher, because why? According to the Taz and the Marshal, a klisheni could do one thing, it just can't do both. It could be maflid or mavliya, but it can't do both. So it could take the flavor out, which is from the spoon, and put it into the milk, into the milk of coffee, but the cup will be okay. Why will the cup be okay? Because even according to the Taz and the Marshal, what could it do? It could take the milk from the spoon and put it into the coffee, but it cannot then take it from the coffee and put it into the mug. So even according to the Taz and the Marshal, the mug is for sure going to be okay. That is, so I mean, even leaving out all the cheshbonos of shishim and how much did you dip in and all of that, that's just basic klisheni. That's siman kofei.
Why is there a difference between the spoon and the mug? Meaning, you can fix the mug too now, right?
No, first of all, the mug cannot be fixed. But second of all, even according to the Taz and the Marshal, meaning even if it could be, even if it was a metal mug, which would be a terrible idea to make a metal mug, but burn your hand every time you pick it up. But even if the mug could be fixed, it's different because the Fleish Gatam would never make it to the mug, even according to the Taz and the Marshal. The Taz and the Marshal would only say that the Tam could come out, but it can't then go into the next thing.
So the Lekat Tfilah is not on the going in also?
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll get to this when we talk about Kasher and Kalim. A glaze on a mug, we assume it's the status of Kli Charis. We assume that Lekula and Lechumra. Right? We assume it Lechumra in terms of even for Sephardim, we'd probably be Machmir that you can't Kasher, that a mug needs to be Kasher and it can't be. And therefore, if it's Treif, it's Treif. As opposed to like glass, which Sephardim hold never can become Treif. But Lekula also, as far as Tevilas Kalim. Right, we assume that it has a din of Kli Charis. You don't have to go tovel your mugs. For some reason, every year on Purim, there's always a Shalach Manos that comes with an actual coffee mug with one of those rubber grip things. I love those things; they're fantastic. So, but I don't have to kasha them, even though they have I don't have to tovel them, even though they have a glaze on it. I think we phrase it a little differently. Meaning, it's not lechatchila. Meaning, even this is a b'diavad situation. It's already. Right over here, the whole situation is b'diav. But even lechatchila, we assume the Taz and the Marshal will assume it doesn't have the koach to be maflid umavliya. Right, I mean b'diav that they're going to be machmir that it's maflid, but even lechatchila you don't have to be choshish that it's mavliya. Right, so that's why the mug is going to be okay. Any questions up there? No, so far so good. Okay, next. You're serving chicken soup with a ladle, and then you realize that the ladle was milch. So this is a little bit different, right? Because you're serving chicken soup with a ladle, and now you're talking in a Kli Rishon, right? So you're sticking the ladle into a chicken soup with a Kli Rishon, then you realize you're using a milch ladle. So this happens all the time. So again, Shai Lazar, the pot, the chicken soup, and the ladle. So what are the questions you have to ask?
Shishim,
Ben-Yomo. Right, Ben-Yomo on what? The ladle, right? Obviously, the pot's Ben-Yomo. It's got the chicken soup in it right now, right? So. So if the ladle is Eino Ben-Yomo, so what would the halacha be? If the ladle is Eino Ben-Yomo, what's mutter? Oh, okay, you got three things.
The food is mutter.
What? The food is mutter. The pot is mutter. The ladle needs to be kasher, right? Meaning everything but the ladle would be mutter, but the ladle would need to be kasher because the ladle now has fresh tam of basar in it that it just got by being put into the chicken soup.
So that's meaning if you were ladling soup out, you already poured one bowl. Some of that soup would be awesome. I mean, the stuff it's already been lifted from the pot.
But it's Eino Ben-Yomo. Ladle's Eino Ben-Yomo.
That meaning. By the time you take the ladle out from the pot, then you have to kasher it, and then you're going to be relying on chachila on a ladle that has to be kasher that still has that soup in it.
Ladle has to be kasher because you want to use it because it has milch blios and a gzeira in a benyama to benyama. Meaning the kashering is still only mitan the gzeira. Otherwise, you could just call it a flesh of a ladle. Right? So if the ladle is Eino Ben Yomo and the pot the food and the pot are both mutter because no sin tam of gam, so it's not going to have any impact. What if the ladle is Ben Yomo? So now what? Say, I just used a ladle this morning. So again, when someone says I just used a ladle this morning, for what? Right? You always ask for what? Was it for punch? Was it for, meaning it has to be hot milch, right? You want to know that they used it for hot milch. So if the ladle is Ben Yomo, then the food needs to be shishim keneged what?
The amount of
blios in the ladle, or the amount of, if you don't know exactly how many blios, the amount, what part of the spoon? Only the part that went in. What if it's a metal? What if it's a metal spoon? Still, we don't say cham etzasa cham kulo that the blios are connected to the whole thing. Just whatever part went in. Even though the amount of the ladle that goes into the pot seems to be a milsa de la ramiale, right? Seems to be that you're not paying such careful attention to that. Pesach Tshuva says you could rely on the guy saying that he knows. Because the Pischi Tshuva writes, something that a person does, biatzmo, he himself is doing it, he's paying attention to what he's doing. So he wouldn't he wouldn't say Milsa de la Ramyale if it's something that he's actively involved in. Milsa de la Ramyale is something that's happening around him, so he's not going to pay careful attention if he doesn't know that he has to pay attention. But something that he's actively involved in, that's what the Pischi Tshuva says. So he says, Kivin dal kalpanim yodua shebishum pan yesh chilik medavar yodeh hu echosa. And particularly since he knows, he doesn't realize that he's creating a problem as he's ladling. He thinks he's using a perfectly good ladle at the time, in the moment. But he knows that this is a thing that sometimes he might have to pay attention to, that sometimes he might have to be cognizant of. So he's got it in his mind, meaning a halachic mind. A lot of times, just the way you think is, oh, what if this were, you know, like, what would the halacha be? And you start thinking about the different possibilities. So he's probably thinking along those lines anyway. The Shach says that if he doesn't know how much went into the food, then you have to measure based how. How does Shach say? The guy said, I don't know how deep I stuck the ladle in. Right? Shach Sivkat Nalif, no? What does the Shach say? Shach Sivkat Nalif. Dlo yadin kamen davin minei. Yidin kazim arashal. Dimeno barlo at kamatachav. Misharim bistam derech litchov. Dainu ad rosh hakaf. Whatever the derech is to stick in, however he would normally scoop out soup. It probably depends how experienced he is, right? People who do this a lot, know how to do it more efficiently, and you know, sometimes people who don't just stick it all the way in because I don't know why. That's just naturally what they do, even though it doesn't make sense. Right? You should just stick in as much as you need to fill the cup, which is what the Shach is talking about. So that's what the Shach writes. If you don't know, the guy says, I have no idea how much is it. So you have to measure a shishim like that. Primogadim, however, says that if you pulled out a bunch of and soup and then dipped it back in, he needs to measure shishim against that be'en. But let's assume that. Let's assume that the pashtus is that you only need to measure shishim against the ladle, and you certainly have to kasher the ladle, right? Because that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siv Dalet. Right? Shulchan Aruch says, "Im ein akaf ben yoma hakdeir v'atav shel mutar ma'akaf asul lechatchila bein im basar bein im chalav." Okay, so you're always going to have to kasher the ladle. Yoni, Rabbi said we can rely on the balabayas since Milsa Ramile doesn't apply to something that one did themselves. Didn't we say last time that Pischi Tshuva asked that this is against the din in Hilchos Shechita, where we say it even by something one does themselves? Yeah, but that's why the Pischi Tshuva adds, because you realize that sometimes it's Milsa de Ramyale, no? Let's look at that Pischi Tshuva. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. Says the Pischi Tshuva. Right, he says, the Nod Yehuda says, Lormin b'zah Milsa de la Ramyale, the B'davash Adamatzma, so the Shaykh Lomar Kain. Some of you are doing it yourself, it's not Shaykh say Milsa de la Ramyale. Ki midal kol panim yodeh, she b'shum pa'am yeish chilek b'davar. V'davko b'shochit shel olam al hilchus shchita v'amar achar shalom al barili sheshachati yafa lo mahani kivin shebesha shchita lo yada sheyesh kpeido b'shum pam b'shiya darsa. Right, meaning when it comes to a shochit who never learned hilchus shchita, a guy says, oh, animal, knife, and decides to kill the animal. And someone says, oh my gosh, did you do a kasher shchita? Well, I don't know, what's a kasher shchita? So they tell him the basic halachas of shchita. Yeah, I did that, I think I did exactly that. So we assume he'll say the Laram Yalei, even though he was the one doing it, because he wouldn't have known to pay attention to if he's pushing or if he's slicing. He wouldn't have known to pay attention to any of the Hilchos Shechita. But over here, people know basics that they sometimes have to measure shishim in the kitchen, so he's going to know basics. That's what he quotes from the Nod Yehuda. But then, in Echonami, the Pischi Tshuva says, only as I did Dvar Tzar Chiyun, based on the Halachan Simin Yurches, Kabe Mesuch Seches, and the Shach over there, by a pagima, yeah. Avol gam mishom ein ra'ili in tchivas kaf. The shiny yasam davisavik rabban kimin shu below rotav. Okay. Vitzarach iyun. Yeah. So. What does the Pischi Tshuva come out? Yeah, Yeah, Pizchei Tshuva comes out that he disagrees with, he has a tzarech in on the Nadiv Yehuda. But that's what the Nadiv Yehuda holds, right? I mean, so the Nadiv Yehuda addresses that point of Hilchos Shechita. Pizchei Tshuva just has a different halacha than Hilchos Shechita and Simen Yurches that seems to go against that Nadiv Yehuda. Yeah. And he doesn't like the raya that the Nadiv Yehuda brings from Reish Shem Tzadidal B'Shach. Yeah. Okay, so I still think that if the pashtos is that if the guy says he remembers, then you trust him, because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch over here. I mean, that's what it seems to say, right? That chomash nishchav mena b'gedera. What does that mean? It's only if you see the water level on it. Well, even if there's no physical evidence of how much he's stuck into the gedera. Pashtus is, how do you know what he's stuck into the Gedera? Because he tells you what he's stuck into the Gedera. So a simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is much more l'chora, much more like the Nadiv Yehuda. Yeah?
So according to the Prima God, I know we quoted earlier about needing to be in the shower, can I be the bayan? So if you actually did take out the soup then, meaning in this case where it is Ben Yomo, then would the soup be aser?
L'chora, yeah. But that's only by Ben Yomo.
Only by Ben Yomo.
Yeah. By Ben Yomo, l'chora, we would pass in that way, right? Meaning if it's actually Ben Yomo, right, what's prima gadim svara? That if you take out soup in a ladle that's ben yomo, so you're assuming that the ladle has a din of a kli rishon, and there's not shishim in the soup that you scooped out, keneged the milchig in the ladle, so that became basar b'chalav, that soup became chanan basar b'chalav, so now you need shishim, keneged all of that soup. But l'chora, that only happens once you pull it out. Right, that only happens once you pull it out. Unless you spill it back in, right, you wouldn't need shishim. Why does the Prima Gadim say that way then? If it only happens once you pull it out, I don't know. Okay, next shaila. You use a milchik spoon to mix a fleishig bowl or pot of chalent or whatever, and many of your milchik spoons have been used for hot milk in the last 24 hours. You just had a delicious new cream of mushroom soup last night or something. So what's the status of the spoon, the chalent, and the pot? Meaning, you have no idea if it's ben yomo or eino ben yomo. So we said the whole chiluk, okay, you got to ask, was spoon ben yomo, the spoon eino ben yomo? Okay, now you don't know if it's ben yomo or eino ben yomo. So now what? So if it was into a kli rishon, then for sure you're going to have to kashu the spoon. If it's in a klisheni, you shouldn't have to kasher the spoon, because really, meikar adin we paskin in simon kofei, like the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, that it doesn't do anything, really. A klisheni is not mavli at all. Rabbi Kiveger thinks we should be machmir even in a klisheni, but not in the case of l'chor, you wouldn't have to be machmir, so it's not meikar adin, in the case of safek. Well, no, as far as the spoon is concerned, it's not a suffix. The spoon is a milchik spoon that just came in contact with fleishig in a klisheni. So, l'chari, you should be machmir to kasher the spoon, regardless, according to Rabbi Kiveger, right? Now, as far as the food, so now it gets tricky, right? Because now I don't know if I stuck a ben yomo or an eino ben yomo spoon into the food in a kli rishon. If it was a ben yomo, I'm going to need shishim. If it was eino ben yomo, I don't need shishim, it's automatically fine. So, do I need shishim or do I not need shishim? So what would you tie in such a case? How would you think about it? Again, I have a draw full of spoons, but I used a bunch of them. Not all of them, but a bunch of them within the last 24 hours on milchik. So now I took one spoon, a clean spoon from the draw, and I stuck it into the chalent pot or to the chicken soup or whatever. Oh, so can you say some kelim ben yomo when you know that half of them are ben yomo? Probably not.
Well, half the rules, is there a certain threshold?
Oh, okay, so good. So you're thinking right. So what are the rules that we're looking at? Do we look at rules of rove? Do we look at suffix, right? Meaning if, I don't know what the rove is. It's 50-50 in my mind, whether it's exactly 50-50 or not. Right, it's 50-50 in my mind. So then you have suffix. So what would you do in the case of suffix? Ah, okay. So what did I stick the spoon into? What? Oh, maybe chicken or meat makes a difference, right? Which is wild, right? But no. So let's start with chicken. So if it was chicken, maybe you could rely on something to Rabbanu Kula. and assume that the spoon is Eina Ben Yomo, and if the spoon is Eina Ben Yomo, then the chicken is kosher. If it's beef, then you need shishim keneged the portion of the kaf that was dipped in. Even if it was dipped multiple times, you only need shishim keneged the kaf. If the majority of the spoons are Eino Ben Yomo, then you can rely on called the parish meruba parish. But if they were mostly bnei yomen and you don't have shishim, then the food might be treif and the pot will need to be kashered also, right? So yeah, l'chori, that even if it's beef, but it's fresh tam that's coming out of the spoon, so that's a chashash to araisa. Ah, would you say kol kavua kamechsa amechsa dami? Is it kavua? Because you took it from the makam kavua, from the draw. How would you define kavua in such a case? Right? What if you took it from the sink? Or from the side of the sink where it was drying or something like that?
If it was from the side of the sink, that would just make it more kavua than you did benyomo?
That would probably increase the chances that it's ben yomo. But let's say you used half your spoons for parv and half your spoons for milchig, and you washed them all.
Maybe here the question is whether it's ben yomo or not. Whether,
yeah, but he said.
So either way, it's definitely a milchig spoon. The question just is it still ben yomo?
Yeah, but kol kavu kamechsel mechsel, I mean, whatever the shaila were being done on.
But would that apply to here where it's a question of like how. I mean, it's not a question of which one was it from. They're all in one area, and the question is how long it's been since you used it last.
In Kol Kavuas, you have Teisha Chanuyos, and you bought from one of the stores, but the Teisha Chanuyos are different than the Chanos Echad. Over here, everything is all the same, it's all in the same spot.
Like it's one Chanos, and we're just trying to figure out.
No, I think we still say Kol Kavuas. I mean, it's not to be Teisha Chanuyos. No, maybe not. I'm not sure. Yeah, that.
What about the fact that when you put back the spoons, let's say that you use that day, you keep them on the top?
So there's a greater chance that you took from whatever's on top. But yeah, okay, let's say you used half of them for a parv and half of them for maybe that would be a cheshbon, that you have that you'd have to assume that up your rov you took the bad one. Simon, don't you also have demonstration on the tirin issue in this case? No, because over here the spoon's going to have to be kasher regardless. What we're being done on is the soup. The soup is not a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So meaning it's not that the spoon is going to be awesome no matter what. So there's nothing you can do about the spoon. So I don't think so. I don't think davar sheyesh lo matirin helps. Okay, another shayla. One of your pots became non-kosher because you accidentally used it for milk and meat within 24 hours. Can you put fruit in the pot? Can you heat water for a bath in the pot? Can you give that water to your dog once the water cools off? That was cooked in that pot. So this is beferish, right? Shulchan Aruch says in Siv Gimel at the end. I feel like Achmutu losses the tocha peros atzonin kiven sheinonena migofe iser, that you could put fruit inside. However, right? What's the big however? Even though you can use it for cold things? Alright, right? The Shach points out that, look back at what I wrote in Simon Sadi Aleph. In Simon Sadi Aleph, he says, that only b'derech arai. And Beragola says that you can heat up water in the pot to wash your hair. You just can't give the water to an animal to drink, even if it isn't your animal. We discussed feeding animals and whether that's called hana. Okay. Here's a Maisa Shahaya. A fellow who is retired, who enjoys going on eBay and finding antique silver, and this is what he does. He buys nice silver on eBay, he sells nice silver, sometimes he buys and sells it back to somebody else. He doesn't need the money, it's just a habit. He thinks he has a talent for this, for finding nice silver. So the thing is, he's confident that the guy he's selling to is a non-Jew. So can he sell silverware or dishes that could have blios of isra or of basar b'chalav? Meaning he's buying everything is antique, it's used. So does he need to kasher everything before he goes and he sells it? So assume whatever it is, it's Tzeinu Ben Yoma, because Tam Kelim Reina Ben Yoma. But even without that, even if it was Ben Yoma, even if the person who he bought it from says, let me just use it one last time for my, for my basar v'chalav, lunch before I send it out to you, it would still be mutter. Why? Because the Pesach Yeshuva quotes from the Chasam Sofer that you're allowed to sell the pot to a guy because the value of the pot doesn't change whatsoever based on the blios that it has in it. Okay, another shayla. You're cooking a chalent or a goulash or something, and you accidentally put a milchik spoon into the pot and remove it after you finish mixing the food. You're a space cadet, and you still haven't noticed that you're holding a milchik spoon in your hand, so you dip it again, right? So do you need shishim for each dip, or only shishim keneged once? So what do we say? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if you weren't, it depends on your yediyah, right? Shulchan Aruch says, if you knew that you were aware that you're using a milchik spoon in between the dips, then you need shishim for each dip. Shishim against the milchik spoon, and then another shishim keneged the basar b'chalav that's in that spoon now that you dipped it once. But if after you dipped the spoon you noticed that it was milchik, and then you dipped it a second time, then you only need shishim keneged the spoon. And the Ramah disagrees and says you always only need shishim keneged keneged the spoon. So if you're Ashkenazi, then you definitely don't have to worry about more than that. Even if you dipped it several times, and even if you aren't aware that you're using a milchik spoon in between the dips. Okay. Yeah. The svara behind why you would need two times shishim, or why yediyah makes a difference. So why does yediyah make a difference? So what do we say? That if you, let's say it again, if you had no idea that you were using a milchik spoon in between the dips, then you need shishim keneged each time. So that svara makes sense. But why, if you dip it, if you knew in between, do you only need shishim once? So we assume because you had shishim and it was batel, right? The bittul happened with your yediyah.
So why, I guess your question is why
bittul is totally on the yediyah, right? That's what the Mechaber is saying. Right? That's when we pass in the shayla, and that's when bittul happens. Right? Someone cuts an onion with a milchik knife, and they put it in their chalent. So, what's the halacha now? So we didn't really do this yet. So do you need shishim against the onion, and can you keep the onion in the chalent, or do you have to get rid of that onion? Meaning, even if you do have shishim, do you have to get rid of the onion? So if an onion is cut with a milchik knife, you need shishim, the amount of dairy that's absorbed in the onion, right? You don't need shishim connected to the onion in total, you need shishim connected to the amount of dairy absorbed in the onion. So the Taz and Sifkot and Yud says that if the onion was cut just sliced once down the middle, so you need shishim times a kedei netila. But if it was diced into a million little pieces, then you need shishim keneged the entire onion. But that's only if you don't know how much milk came in contact with the knife in the past 24 hours. But if you know that the knife only cut like 1 ounce of milk, or only came in contact with a very tiny amount of hot milk, so then you only need shishim keneged that amount of milk. We'll get there in Sadivad. That the size of the knife makes a difference, whatever. If there is shishim against the onion, so the shach and sivkat and chav gimel paskens that the onion is mutter, but if the knife were treif, then the onion would be aser. Okay, another case. This happens a lot also. A guy cuts a hot piece of chicken for his child and then realizes that he was using a milchig knife. What's the halacha? So he's cutting it up because the child can't cut it on his own, and also when you cut it up, it cools off a lot faster. It's a really hot piece of chicken, so he cuts it up for his child, and then says to the kid, wait, or blow on it, or whatever you do not to burn yourself. And then he realizes he just used a milchik knife. So now you have a lot of questions you need to ask. What are the questions you need to ask? So you need to ask if the knife was ben yomo. What else? How hot was the chicken, right? Was he atzaladas? Where was the chicken when you cut it? Meaning if he was frying the chicken and then he just turned off the fire and started cutting it in the frying pan, then it's a kli rishon, and even though, and you don't have any sad lahakel about klishein, even though it's a davar gush where we try to be machmel chachil anyway, and then you have to discuss size, how big the chicken is, how big the knife is. So let's go through this one. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin says, this is the last prepared one I have, then maybe we'll go through some of the ones that we had on the chat recently. So Shulchan Aruch in Siv Zayin says like this, if there are, let's see inside. Basar oteach shechatcha b'sakin cholavas, boiling hot meat that you cut with a milch knife. Kala chaticha asura im ein bashishim keneged makom asakin shechatcha basar. Whatever portion of the knife touched the meat, you need shishim keneged that. Avol meinu ben yomo o im einu yodeashu ben yomo einu also el kadei klipa. But if it's einu ben yomo, you're not sure, then it's only gonna ask you kadei klipa. V'kol zeh b'basar oteach b'kli rishon. Says the Rama, "Vazim a sakin ben yom, v'ain shishim bas neged a sakin a kol aser. V'yaf a sakin tzarich hagala, avil mukli sheni a baser tzarich klipa v'asakin itza bekarka. If it's in a klisheni, the baser just needs klipa, and the sakin you need to scrub with a brillo pad. V'chein noagin v'afilu ein a sakin ben yom, yesh liklof a baser ma'at mishum shamnunis a sakin." And even if the sakin's not ben yomo, you have to worry about the fat that's on the sakin, the be'en that's on the sakin. So that's why you have to be kolif ma'at. So again, if there's shishim against the area of the blade that came into contact with the chicken, chicken's going to be mutter, but you need to remove a kadei klipa. Why do you need to remove a kadei klipa? Because of the be'en that's on the knife. The marshal disagrees. The marshal says most people don't pay such careful attention when they're cutting. They don't know how much of the blade actually came in contact with the knife. So you can need shishim the entire blade of the knife. And if there's a part of the knife that you know for sure did not come in contact with the blade, then you don't have to include that in the calculation of the 60. But if there's a chance, or you just weren't paying attention, you assume the worst, says the Mashal. Now, if there isn't shishim against the blade, or according to the Mechaber, at least there isn't shishim connected the part of the blade that came into contact with the chicken, then the entire piece of chicken has to be thrown out, because it's got the tam of basar v'chalav. The knife and the pan would need to be kashered, right? Because the piece of chicken became tray from the knife, chanan, and since everything is hot, that turns the pan tray. So now even the pan is going to need to be kashered. The Rama says that if the schnitzel was placed on a plate, now it has status of klisheni, and even if there isn't shishim in the chicken against the blade, the chicken's going to be mutter, right? Because it's klisheni. So what do you need to do? Just to take klipa from the chicken. The knife is going to be mutter with ni'itza. Why? Because what does ni'itza accomplish? It doesn't really kasher, right? Ni'itza just removes be'en. Right? That was one of the common misconceptions for years. I don't know if people still believe this, but for years, it used to be people would think that if any cutlery becomes treif, you just leave it in the ground overnight. People would stick it in the ground in the backyard and leave it there. And the next day, I remember my friend gave a shiur one. I used to, when I was like in my early admissions year in YU. So on Fridays, I'd go back home and I would run errands all day for my parents. So I would listen to the Rabbi Fran tapes, the cassette tapes. My father always had in the car the Rabbi Fran tapes. So I remember him giving the example. He was talking about needs of the karka. And he said, "So what do? You're at someone's house and they say, 'You see this fork? Yesterday it was treif, but I stuck it in my backyard and now it is kosher,' right?" So that was a very common misconception. But what it actually does is it removes any be'en that's on a knife. It's tafka for a knife, and in Yitzhak Bekarka we'll learn the halachas of exactly what you need for Yitzhak Bekarka, but that would remove the be'en residue from the knife. So the Rama is of the opinion that a klisheni doesn't have the power to be balea, mavlia, or anything. The Taz quotes the Marshal that a klisheni cools off a liquid, but a dover gush is always going to be considered kli rishon as long as it's yatzoledes. So because you don't have the dofne akli to cool it down. So we paskin lechachila, ideally we paskin like the Marshal, but v'makom hefsin meruba, we could rely on the Rama, and the Aruch HaShulchan says that explicitly, that certainly v'makom hefsin meruba, you could rely on the Rama. So Pesachei Teshuvah and Sivkat and Zayin points out that if a solid piece of meat is resting on a liquid or in a liquid in a klisheni, then the klisheni does not, then the klisheni does cool down that piece of meat, because the whole svara that a klisheni doesn't work on a solid is only because the solid never benefited from the dofnei akli. But if it's sitting in a liquid, it's sitting in a gravy, and the gravy benefits from the dofnei akli, then it would be fine. Now, if the knife is an Einu Ben Yoma, or you're not sure if it was Ben Yoma or not, so Shulchan Aruch again says, Kedei Klipa, from the chicken, and then the chicken's going to be Mutter, the rest of the chicken is Mutter, and so is the knife. The Badei HaShulchan gives two explanations to why the meat would be mutter, but you'd still need to remove a kedei klipa. Pashtus is because of whatever shanunis might be left on the knife itself. Okay, so what do we say? You cut. So what happens? The guy cut a hot piece of chicken for his child, and then he realized he used a milchig knife. So if you're going to say that he needs a kedei klipa wherever he cut, so then you have a problem, right? Because if you cut the whole piece and you need a kedei klipa in every single place that he cut, because you say, I want to be machmir for the marshal, so even if it's in the plate, it's a cliche, but it's really a kli rishon because it's yatzal ledes, it's really, really hot, and the knife is, whether it's ben yomo or reina ben yomo, you're going to need a kedei klipa, right? So now you're in trouble. So what's the tzad the hakel? I mean, tzad the hakel? Let the kid eat his dinner. What? That our knives are really clean, right? That's the pashtus. That if our knives are really clean, you probably don't have to be so machmir for that kedei klipa. And then if you have the fact that it's a klisheni and that the knife is eino ben yomo, and or the knife is eino ben yomo, then that's probably fine. Okay, going back, what do we have over here? Noah? For the case of feeding your animal from a treif kli, according to the shach, there must be derech arayim. Can the dog have a designated feeding dish they serve treif food in? Yeah, derech arayim, I think, is only if you're using it for your own food. With the dog, I don't think it was necessary. It was necessary that it be arayim, right? I think the derech arayim is only if you're using it for your food. Right, it's understood. If it's a dog dish, we assume people aren't going to use it anymore. The shaila was, you use the pot to warm up water, then you're going to pour it into the dog bowl. But the dog bowl itself, that the dog eats from, does not have to be derech arayim. Okay, so what were the shailas we had on the WhatsApp? Anyone remember?
My shaila is good right now.
Your shaila, you got a kosher sink. How kosher are kosher sinks? Look, if you have one sink, so your sink is obviously treif, but you have two sinks. Okay, so there are chashashos of splattering and whatever, but pashtus is, things come up, but by then it's already cliche or whatever. Yeah, we have enough to...
Like two hands is very difficult. So I did it before asking the title, so I was very worried. So I held the call in the
room, one
hand and another hand went forward.
Worked out. Yeah. It's all good. I thought that the shaila with the microwave cover was a geschmack of shaila, no? You guys don't follow the whole back and forth in the chat. There were what were those things called?
The ravioli.
The ravioli, yeah. There was like cheese ravioli, like a bunch of them. And the woman had to strain them. When you're straining something, you're pouring straight out of the kli rishon, right? It's very, very hot. She had to strain them, and she grabbed her microwave cover, the thing that covers the food that in the microwave that has holes in it, and used that as the strainer because she couldn't find her strainer. And then she realized that she had used a fleishig microwave cover to strain her ravioli. So now she wants to know if her ravioli is kosher. No? Stadim lahakel? Anything? Well, let's say, why would we be machmir? It's irul kli rishon on a fleishig kli with mamish milchik food. It's cheese stuffed ravioli, right? There's cheese in there. So it's stadim lahakel? It was used that day. She had said, yes, we used the fleishig microwave cover that day. Four fleishigs. Not even for part. What?
The microwave, so it might not cook at all.
Oh, maybe the zeya that hit the cover wasn't hot. Pashas was why?
I'm saying
microwaves in general, the atmosphere of the microwave is not hot. Yeah, but the cover goes like right there. It's right. So pashas is it was hot. Oh, okay. So now in microwaves, there's much more likelihood of zeya than there is in non-microwave than there is in regular ovens. But still, if it's a solid food, it may not be so much zeya, right? So.
Not assume that there's a little mushes on the microwave cover.
Meaning it's hard to find a food that's solid enough that's not going to create, you know, dry enough. Because the way a microwave works is that it heats up the liquid, right? That's what it does. So now we have another problem. Forget about the bleos in the microwave cover. There is mamashos on the microwave cover. Unless she wipes it down every time. I don't know. So I thought Gabe's answer was brilliant. No, you see, was anyone following it? Gabe had the following idea. He said, it was a giant bowl of ravioli. So he said, Enochinami, the ravioli that touched the microwave cover, that was actually in direct contact, that ravioli became not kosher, right? But it didn't have the koach to trafe up all the other ravioli that was sitting on top of it. So, right? Because all the ice, why not?
Well, the ravioli is wet. The pieces of ravioli that touch the pot, they're probably on that, no. And now they're touching other pieces of meat. There's still other pieces of ravioli that are wet. Why isn't it
one unit?
The wetness is going through the strainer.
Right, the wetness is just pointing straight out. You get moisture. No, it's wet, but 1 second. When you're pouring it through, is that still called irikli? Yeah, that's irikli rishon on the ravioli itself.
Then why is it
in the second? Would that help? It's tasa gavar, so the microwave cover is the tasa, and that was cool, but still, could they clip it?
Right, but then that works with Gabe's
solution.
Right. So then you're going to tell me what, but then it all got mixed again. You're not going to be able to identify which pieces are which. Yeah, but Rove was not on the surface.
Wouldn't it be an issue if we're missing a few left? I mean, they were all poured in probably one sweep. So you kind of have them all connected by water at one point. And the second the water touches.
No, because if only the bottom kedei klipa of the ravioli became treif, then it's not going to go treif the ones that are on top of it. Because it doesn't.
Let's say like the first thing that hits the shomer is water.
And I don't have it. The kedei klipa is just the pasta.
Right, but I mean, if the water and touches, the, meaning the water touches the strainer, and that touches the ravioli, which in turn being all in the same.
No, it's all the irikli rishon, so it's only gonna do kedei klipa anyway. So Gabe Taina, that it should then become bata. Is a chatich ruil iskavit? No, it's a little piece of ravioli. It's not a chatich ruil iskavit.
How do we pass it in the first together ruil
iskavit?
Being a single piece of sesame chicken, or
entire
sesame chicken, a steak, or?
So I think each piece is not ruil iskavit. If it's a bunch of pieces and it's not a davishim minyan, it's not ruil iskavit. You would never give a piece of that.
The flow question I was wondering about that would be, like, let's say you have, like, you're making pasta, and, like, literally onto a piece of treif meat, you slowly poured out the water from the pasta. There's a stream of water connecting it.
That reconnects it back, yeah. Did we discuss that this year yet?
Yeah. You can't remember, like, the tugging case at all, like, that way earlier thing about, like, the way you pour out water, is it something like that? We're going to skip that, like, Zion or something?
Yeah. Yes, why didn't we discuss it? What?
Comes up by
Yayin Nesach, yeah. Yeah, but that's different. Yeah. I don't remember. Where did it come up? In Kuv Zayin, you said?
I think it was like there's like a seminar on how to remove things from where they discuss all the problematic things that happen while you're emptying out the pot.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That comes up a yayin nesach. Yeah. So what is it about not? Says the Shach, Mishum da hevel ola mehaner lumayla, kein muchata me'araya she'ev yamordechai. Yeah, says the Taz. The Tasol govern mechabru benitzok. It's in their dole, right? It's a hot can. In your case, so in the Nechinami, that's like that case, the Rama, the Chora, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Do we have any other some questions that came up? We discussed the Parmesan cheese one already. Okay.
Elliot Shiloh was the onion one.
Was the
onion?
Oh, okay. So we didn't do that yet, but. I texted him privately because I didn't want to give it away. But so his shiloh was that. What did he do? He took a what was the shiloh again? What were the details?
An onion was cut, a par of knife, and a fleshig.
Good. So you have an onion, a par of knife, a fleshig cutting board, right? And then he used that onion in milchigs, right?
In a par of pot
to make soup. So he wanted to know if the pot is still par, right? Was that the shiloh?
The three
shiloh. And
the pot. Right. So cutting boards are meaning, whenever it comes to an onion, we say we're always going to be extra machmir. We always assume that a davar charif takes away all of your kulas. It takes away the ena ben yom kula. It takes away if something with not having yatzalah this bro. Onion is we're always going to be machmir. But cutting boards are machlokas. Meaning, if you have a cutting board that came in contact with an onion, but you don't have duchad zeskina into the cutting board, the duchad zeskina is only into the onion, not into the cutting board. So it's a machlokas aposkim, which we're going to learn about. So there are they quote in the later svarim that Rav Eliyashiv was mekil kaseder on those kinds of things, and particularly in this case where it's not really a shayla, meaning there was just an initial part. But so I think, you know, although Rav Shechter is pretty machmir about cutting boards, if I'm not mistaken, I have to ask him, but I seem to recall that. But that's a dua machlokas on poskim. So what I told him is that many poskim are makel. But okay, we'll get to that. We're not there yet. All right. So Bez Hashem on Sunday will be the Bechina. I urge everyone to take it. On Monday we'll start Sadiyeh. Yeah. Okay.